Hello, everyone. This is Greg, your host of Goddamn GameCube. Welcome to Season 3. If you enjoy listening to our show, consider subscribing to us on YouTube for exclusive video content. Thank you and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Beppy are your hosts today, and today we're going to be talking about Telltale Games and their graphic adventure games, sort of the rise of the company and the fall of the company. So, Beppy, why don't you start us off, and let's get right into it.
Thank you, Greg. I would like to start this out by saying that I've played most of them, quite a few, maybe 80-something percent.
Okay.
And you've played only a couple.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to talk about. I think this was a Game Pass binge for me.
Okay.
I think they were all on there a couple years ago. Went through a lot of them. I'm interested in most of the properties they cover, but I actually had no idea they were a company for as long as they were.
Me either.
Like 2004.
Really?
Yeah, and an offshoot from LucasArts.
Yep, I knew that.
I didn't realize that they were involved in kind of perpetuating the Monkey Island and Sam and Max, which I don't know anything about.
I've never played them.
I've heard Monkey Island. I haven't heard the other one. Mm-hmm. But they started out doing that, and a seemingly positive reception on those. Mm-hmm. And they were apparently just interested in preserving adventure games,
mm-hmm.
which I'm on board with, at the expense of puzzles, which I thought was interesting because
yeah.
I feel like puzzles aren't really as commonplace as they were, mm-hmm. you know, back then anyway. But I mean, like most other people, you and I were kind of, they were put on our radar with The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. first game. And so did you know anything about, like, did you watch the show or did you like, you know?
So, no,
okay.
As far as I can recall about The Walking Dead, I never read the comics. I missed the first season of the show. I also can't remember now when the first or second season of the show even came out. It was probably mm-hmm. around 2012. It was
yeah.
college for me.
I think it was like a blitz. Like, let's just like do a video game and
yeah.
you know, show.
So I remember watching a little bit of season 2 and 3 of the show, but I can't remember if I played this first.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I think the game is much better.
Oh, absolutely. No, I only watched up to, I believe, the end of season 3.
Yeah, and then
early
yeah,
season
yeah, yeah,
4.
Yeah.
I feel like that was like the peak of the popularity anyway.
I mean, honestly, when they just wouldn't get out of the prison, someone named like the governor got involved. It just got too silly for me.
It went on forever. Yep. I feel like the storytelling in these games in general really brings out the great potential mm-hmm. in all these series. Walking Dead was obviously the first huge success. Unbelievable. You couldn't stop hearing about it when it came out. Do you remember like your first, did you play it like episodically?
Yes.
Or okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So as Beppy was saying earlier, you've played most of the Telltale games.
Mm-hmm.
I've played some of them, but I did play them on release.
Okay.
So when The Walking Dead episodic, you know, season 1 came out, I did buy them episode by episode.
Okay.
And I actually, was this a year ago or maybe could have even been like right around when we started this podcast? I actually put together a list of like the 200 something games that I played from 2010 to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, The Walking Dead season 1 is not only like one of the best like adventure games I've ever played. I think it's one of the best games I played this decade, like period.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's like, that's a, if you make fun of me on this podcast, that's a tall order
for sure.
Me.
No, I completely, I mean, I had heard all these great things about it and I played it, you know, I played all these games complete. Like I never, like I didn't get in the middle of and buy episodically. Mm-hmm. It was all like when it was done.
You bought them all complete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you know, through Game Pass or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's just a very compelling self-contained story. I think there's only a handful of characters from the TV show.
Yep.
Really just capturing the maturity and the tragedy and like without doing it in a trite way where, you know, certain tropes you've seen over and over again, this was, it found a way to make it feel new.
What I thought was cool about the Walking Dead season one is they're kind of like revitalizing point and click adventure games because it's not really puzzly. Yeah, there are some quote unquote puzzles, but there are no like multiple ways to solve stuff. It's kind of very presented to you in all the scenarios.
And I guess we should say that, you know, all of their games are characterized by this sort of choose your own adventure branching paths. The Walking Dead is unique, and I think it's one of it's pretty much the only one that matters, that where there are multiple seasons so your choices could carry over.
And what I thought was very interesting about The Walking Dead season one is they did a global system where they knew and it was displayed to you what other players chose.
Yeah, that was interesting.
What I don't know if you've found this when we were researching this, but what I was reading was the developers, they purposely wanted every choice to be ambiguous. Mm-hmm. They didn't want any choice to be obvious. And what I forget who on the development team said this. I'm going to paraphrase this quote. What he said was, if a choice was 75-25, they did not do a good job.
Okay.
What they were looking for was they wanted almost everything to be split 50-50 among the fans.
Yeah, and at least in this game, I would say they succeeded from the stats that I remember. I mean, not sure. Again, this is kind of like the Mass Effect data. Not sure how much of it is like trophy hunting or whatever, but
sure.
I have to say, I don't think I would replay any of these games, despite how replayable they theoretically are.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I agree.
I think for me, like The Walking Dead in particular is like a little too effective, where it's like it gets you into the world in a way that a lot of other post-apocalyptic games don't, and it's like it's really heartbreaking.
Crushing. I just feel like they did such a good job with a zombie apocalypse being a human story and not a horror story.
Yep.
It's not really about the monsters, even though it kind of is. It's more about the people interacting with each other.
Yeah, it's more the setting and like
the human conflict.
That's what I think the show is going for, but not succeeding.
Is the show still going? Is it done?
It's on its last season somehow.
Oh my god, has it really been 10 fucking years?
Yeah, this is season 11, I believe.
Good lord.
So good luck to everybody getting through that. I haven't watched it in years, as I mentioned, but I was thoroughly entertained by this particular season especially. I definitely recommend you play it if you haven't already.
I can't believe anyone out there, like, I feel like we don't do this very often where we say on the mic, like, we really do recommend this game.
Oh, yeah.
Please,
earnestly.
Please play The Walking Dead season
very
one.
Well acted, all super well conceived. And as we'll learn, I mean, we talked a little bit about the origins of the company here. We are going to get into their downfall later on.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I'd like to bring up in this period is that the success of this game is attributed as like, this is why we started to fall apart, because it was this successful. We were always chasing that high, trying to basically doing the same thing, not being able to experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so unfortunate, because it's a pitfall that a lot of people have fallen into. I would like to stipulate that the quality did not suffer nearly as much as you would expect because of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like some of the later ones are like excellent, and I'm going to talk about them when we get to those. But I just wanted to bring it up that this is kind of, because this was so ubiquitous and so successful, it kind of like set the high water mark.
Let me
forward.
Ask you a question before we move on to their other games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty obvious, but the developers were heavily influenced by Heavy Rain and Mass Effect. It's kind of like that, you know what I mean? Where they wanted to do the weight of the choice, but through dialogue.
Yeah.
I feel like those influences make a lot of sense. Do you know, like, why is Telltale Games and The Walking Dead held up in such high regard compared to Heavy Rain, which people make fun of? Do you really think it's the quality of the performance? Because I really liked them both when I played them for the first time, you know?
I think that and Walking Dead is a very successful. It was the first season alone was a huge knockout success.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people were looking for that and they got it. You know, like they wanted that kind of, what if I was in their situation? What choices would I make?
Yeah.
And that's something where I think this series, there's a couple later on that I didn't think were as good a fit for the Telltale experience.
I agree.
This is something where you would, where it's kind of like, I'm in a survival, do or die situation. What would I do?
And I want to make sure I emphasize this. In development, the developers said they wanted every choice to be the wrong choice. Where it's like there was no clear cut, this is the right thing to do. It's all miserable.
Yes.
And what do you do?
Yes, for sure. There's always consequences.
Yeah. And one of the few games where I shouldn't say one of the few games. Maybe it was just one of the first games I noticed where the choices you made not only were very impactful, they continue to have ramifications way later.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember the cute little thing in The Walking Dead where it's like, they will remember that.
Right.
I quote all the time.
That's iconic now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a good amount of like, kind of, and it not to the game's detriment or anything, but like when he's considering giving the little girl his candy bar and then just puts it in his own pocket to eat later. That's one of the funny things you can do.
Like, yeah,
just make him a selfish asshole. But I loved it. And unless you have anything else to say, I'd like to move on.
Yeah. Let's move ahead. I obviously loved it. Yep. I think it's one of the best games of the past decade, so let's keep going.
In that vein, I think The Wolf Among Us was next.
Yeah, I played this on release too.
Probably my favorite overall. I don't know.
I do think I like the Walking Dead better just because it's grounded in more reality for me. You're going to hear me say that a lot on the show, but I also really like The Wolf Among Us.
I couldn't believe it because it is so imaginative, but it's a very kind of stupid concept.
Yes.
And I think it's based on something that I had never heard of before called Fables.
I didn't.
It's a comic series.
I never read them. I didn't. Is this one of those games, I'm just going to sound uncultured, where I feel like I've heard of the names of all of these characters, but I don't know what they're from.
Right. Well, it's all sort of like folklore. And,
sure.
And, you know, you're playing as the big bad wolf of Red Riding Hood. And you know, there's all these different, from completely varying cultures. Mm-hmm. There's like Tiny Tim from fucking Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And you know,
Ichabod Snow White. Crane.
Yeah. Like all like the pretty much all these fictitious, like, you know, kind of apocryphal characters. And really interesting because they are kind of coexisting in a like subversive society where they're trying to hide their, and they have to wear glamorous to fit in, like, because they're really animals or creatures or whatever.
It's like they really did like a really fascinating job with like fitting a cop drama. It takes place in the 1980s.
Right.
It's like a 1980s cop drama, but you're all fable characters.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
And that premise, if you're listening to this and you haven't played it, I totally understand if you think this is the dumbest thing in the world, because that's what I thought when I heard about
Me
it.
Me too.
But it's really cool, and something about the tone is just like perfect.
Yeah.
Where if it was a little sillier or a little more serious, it could have completely fallen.
If it was in the wrong hands.
Yes. Exactly. And pretty impressive that they were able to translate what is presumably a successful comic into a successful game. It's a very different beast. I wanted to address the soundtrack was really good in this
okay,
one.
Okay, sure.
Very cool. Like as soon as you boot it up, it's like a really, really neat kind of unexpected, like there's some synth stuff going on. It's like, wow, it's really,
they
like
really
engaging
tried to
me.
Juxtapose the fantasy world where it's but it's the 1980s.
I
think they kind of were hammering on the same, I hate the word vibe, but they're hammering on the same vibe there.
Yeah. And more, I mean, it's pretty heavy duty. Like there's people getting decapitated and like drug use.
I kind of forgot like how gruesome this story was.
Yes.
It's like
serial killers and all this stuff. And somehow it doesn't fall apart, and it's just a miracle. And it's such a shame because they're apparently, before they fell apart, were working on a season two. And not that I necessarily needed more, but interesting world.
I could be wrong here. Didn't season two get picked up by the next developer who bought the property?
It could be.
I believe it did. Now, people can maybe correct me. I thought in 2019 or 2020... The Wolf Among Us property was picked up by whoever bought out the properties of Telltale.
Interesting.
I believe there's a company that is doing business as Telltale, and they are actually going to be coming out with The Wolf Among Us 2.
They kind of absorbed whatever was
left.
Yes,
that was a very recent development in the past year or so. So that is actually happening.
Maybe a good time to bring up that I did have that in my notes for later, but people are sort of questioning like the ethics of that and how so many of the original Telltale employees have not been paid for their work still, and it's
kind of
like the remnants of the company is you know, they get the success and
sure.
all the, you know, all the assets and whatnot, and pretty rough.
Are we getting into the downfall yet? Because I mean,
not yet. No, I just wanted while you brought it up,
I wanted to
mention it. And I guess unless you have anything else to say, that's my thoughts on Wolf Among Us.
Talking about The Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us before we move on, do what I thought was the coolest part of how they do dialogue in these games.
What's that?
You can say nothing.
Yeah.
And that's an option.
And that in itself is an answer.
Yeah. Saying nothing is an answer.
And like they'll like if it's a hostile character, like, what, you got nothing to say? Or something.
It's like really cool. I've never seen like any of these games, whether it's Heavy Rain or you pick it, I've never seen a game do that. We're saying nothing is an option.
I like that too, because it's also timed, and it's kind of, whereas most like Mass Effect, you would just kind of be sitting in the menu for however long,
mm-hmm.
like you put your controller down to go to the bathroom or something. Yeah. And it's like still there. But this one, you have to like pay attention. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Thank God you can pause it during these moments too, because if you couldn't, I could very easily see that happen. But
no, I understand.
I'd recommend that one too, wholeheartedly. It's a fascinating mystery plot. Some really good payoffs towards the end, and
much more gruesome and adult than you would think. Like just like Beppe said, like if you think the premise of this game sounds completely ridiculous, it actually really comes together in a way that I think you'll find fascinating.
Genuinely mature, not just like shock.
Genuinely,
like, very cool.
And generally mature.
Yep, for sure. So of course they immediately got to work on Walking Dead season 2. So why don't we get into that? Why don't you tell me about your experience with that game?
Okay. So The Walking Dead 2, the general notes I wrote down about this is that it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's like Clementine kind of grown up.
Yeah.
Also, I'm assuming we're avoiding some spoilers here because season one is so good.
I'll just say that in season one, you play as an adult, and in season two, you play as a child and like a different character. And it's the situations that you're put in as a child are really strange.
That's so funny. You're kind of reading my notes for me.
Yeah.
What I said about season two is that the villains are goofy and that the situations you are put in as Clementine are absurd.
Yeah.
I remember like this one moment. I hope I'm recalling this correctly. There's a bunch of adults in the room, and they're just like, who can climb up this really dangerous thing and do this thing that we are incapable of doing?
Right.
Clementine. She's like 12. Like, what? It's really, they almost like, do what I almost compare it to. They do like a bad job almost like having Child Link be really courageous. But like, keep in mind, that's a fantasy game.
Yes.
And you're like, in Ocarina of Time, you're 11 or 12, but it's a fucking fantasy game.
I remember there are like characters who are like, well, we can't ask that of her. But
stuff you have to do as a 12-year-old is like stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's just, I guess you can chalk it up to the desperation of the characters and the setting, but it... In certain places, it took me out of it. Like,
yeah, me too. There was actually one cool moment that I really appreciated. You know how we just talked about saying nothing is an option?
Yeah.
Remember there's a scene where either someone is like either outside your house or is banging on the door? And that's
you can either answer the door or not.
Yeah. That's one of the first times where I said, I'm going to put the controller down and do nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever selected nothing
and
as an
like
option.
A pretty believable situation for a child to be in.
Yeah, do nothing.
Yeah, like, you know, someone's at the door, I don't recognize them.
Yeah,
you
I'm going to do nothing.
Do?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
I would say it's a step down from the first season.
Yeah.
But I'd still recommend it if you enjoyed the first season and wanted
and
more.
And you're invested.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, there's a pretty impactful moment at the end, which seems to be a branching path. It's part on the snowstorm. Yes. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It did kind of get under my skin where it's like, I'm still living in the world. There's still kind of these heavy duty consequences for mm-hmm. stuff. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say the ending of the game, I agree with you, but it also bothered me. I don't want to spoil it, but yeah. It just feels like you were given a very obvious choice, and it felt like to me the wrong answer gives a better outcome.
Sure.
And it's I don't want to spoil it, but it's like you're in like a life or death situation, and it's just when I saw both outcomes, that's when I feel like this franchise started to teeter a little bit for yeah. me in terms of like the choices and consequences. It's not really, I think, working as intended.
Yeah, well, I guess it's kind of that unpredictable, like we don't want...
It's a little far... what I'm saying is the ending of 2 is a little far-fetched for me.
Yeah, it's just like a little too complicated.
Yeah.
I can see where they were coming from, though. Did you play Tales from the Borderlands?
No, I've said this a couple of times on the podcast. I don't like Borderlands.
I don't either. So naturally, I didn't play this.
Did you? So you didn't play this at all?
I didn't play this at all. I've heard it's pretty well liked by fans. So good for them.
Yeah.
Just didn't pick it up because it wasn't for me.
Well, I do think, is this the point where in their history where The Walking Dead has got to be bearing on them, right? Where they really couldn't do anything else besides make that.
Well, it's certainly like, you know, they immediately went back into make After Wolf Among Us.
Sorry,
season 2.
Is like every one of their games had to be like The Walking Dead.
Like it. Yeah.
That's what
yeah,
I mean. Sorry.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. I don't know much about the world of Borderlands. Mm-hmm. I played a little bit of the first game when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it suits the Telltale. That's gonna come up a couple times, whether mm-hmm. or not it's a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, though, which is the Game of Thrones series.
Did you
series.
Play that?
Yes.
Was it good?
It's insanely good.
Really?
It was like, because this was at a point where I fell out of love with the show around like season 3.
As
like,
we all should.
Like end of season 3. That's kind of where my last straw was drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like... I not to be a purist, but like it kind of just leaned more into the sensationalized aspects. That's what I was talking about before with Wolf Among Us is yeah. the genuine maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And like there was a lot of like shock value, like we're on HBO kind of thing.
And sex and blood. We're on HBO.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then this game really got it when it comes to the difficult decisions.
Interesting.
And like the kind of if you're in a position like the lord of this estate or whatever, what are you going to do to keep the people happy? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do to, you know, are you going to jeopardize this alliance? Are you going to honor your family who was killed by so and so? It was really like, you know, because it's all kind of made up for the game, like this.
That's surprising to
family.
Me that just like Game of Thrones, the much maligned television show, especially at the end,
yeah.
and also he's never going to finish those books either.
Right.
And it's so Telltale knocks it out of the park again.
Oh, yeah. Like and in the same way that they did with The Walking Dead is that
yeah.
you have these insanely talented writers who absolutely knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much because there's like... a super like they get you to know like two different characters over the course of the game. You follow their stories and then they make you choose near the end which one is going to survive, and it's
yeah.
like fuck, I don't know, and it's time too, so it's like fuck
yeah.
really cool game, definitely recommend playing it.
Maybe I will. I kind of forgot they did that.
Yeah, you should play that for sure. It's a much better representative of the books than the show was. that was great. This is where we get into some choppy
waters.
Choppy seas, yeah.
Okay.
Minecraft story mode. Did you hear anything about this?
All I know about this is the point in their careers where there was a lot of pressure on them to keep making the same kind of game over and over again.
Very fast.
Obviously doing Minecraft story mode would have been a huge moneymaker. I believe it was one of the only games they made that was a huge moneymaker for them.
Yes.
As far as I was reading, they only made money on the early Walking Dead and Minecraft.
Right.
They made nothing off the other stuff.
Right.
Which I found fascinating.
A lot of flops for sure. But this is so funny because I will talk a little bit more about this later, but this is where kind of their market research, their disastrous market research was coming into play. Mm-hmm. There's a, I couldn't find it when I was looking up for this, this show, but at the time, 2 years ago when Telltale went under, there was like an hour long video on YouTube of this employee who worked there, and she goes into great detail in what their sort of final hours were like. And something she said about Minecraft story mode was that the intended audience for this was mid-20s, early 30s.
That should be raising some eyebrows.
Exactly. And so that's why in, I believe, the first trailer, there were like dick jokes and just kind of inappropriate, mature. And it's like, these are like, this is for little kids. You know that, right?
I know. Until you just said that, I didn't really put together that Telltale, the mature storytelling company, is making a Minecraft story mode game, but Minecraft is played by kids.
Yes. And
okay.
So they did two seasons of that.
Yeah.
I'll just get that out of the way. And do you remember they did something with Netflix with this?
Yes.
Where it was like playable on Netflix?
Yes.
Or something?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of interesting. I mean, if it was, I don't know anything about Minecraft. I just know that kids play it, and then you probably shouldn't include offensive jokes.
Well,
in
I mean,
it.
From what I remember from Telltale's timeline, wasn't there bankruptcy and restructuring right around this time? Of Minecraft and the Netflix involvement, weren't those like...
I think
like,
this is about the halfway point.
It's right there, isn't it?
Yeah, this is where the kind of the top of the roller coaster, if you
yeah,
will.
Yeah, sure.
So didn't play this, don't know anything about it. They did a brief Walking Dead for the Michonne character.
Yeah, they did a standalone.
I mean, it was fine. I played it. It's only a couple episodes, very short. I mean, because I didn't really... She only just showed up when I stopped watching the show. And I guess I was always curious about what her backstory was. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Inessential, inoffensive.
Okay.
The Batman game was
sure
next.
Okay.
And let me tell you, this game rocks.
Okay.
I'm going to like, you're going to, this is of maybe an unpopular opinion.
Okay.
But I thought they did two of these. The first one is what I'm going to talk about right now. Very, very impressive.
Really?
And funny because I would not necessarily pick this as a good Telltale series.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, Batman is kind of like, what decisions does he really have to make? Like, his mm-hmm. life is pretty clear cut. But something about it that it's awesome is that it finds ways to make the characters feel new.
Okay.
A very, very different take, different from the movies, the TV shows, the Arkham games. Totally different.
So even
take
though
on the
they're
characters.
Like, they're completely different games, would you put these up there with the Arkham games? Or just, they're just very way too different.
Narratively, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
wow.
Like in terms of, say, for instance, like the Penguin is a character, and there, you know, he it's very kind of grounded mm-hmm. this version, and he gets beat up at one point in the game.
Sure.
And he just has like black eyes, so he looks like a penguin. It's like, that's fucking cool.
Right.
And they kind of entangle like the Two-Face and Catwoman relationships in different interesting ways. Really took me by surprise because I didn't hear a lot mm-hmm. of positive press about it. I think it performed very poorly.
Wow.
Commercially. But I would definitely recommend that one. Okay, Walking Dead Season 3, did you play this?
I only played a little bit of it.
Okay, so I'm going to get into some gripes here.
Okay.
So it's tough because as we talked about in the Mass Effect episode, the more branching decisions you have in a series, the more difficult it is to fulfill them.
Yeah, because it becomes an exponential problem.
Exactly.
Branches turn into more branches.
And... holy shit, they took this the easiest way out here mm-hmm. because all you have, I think, five different endings for season two, but like yep. five super different outcomes. And in the beginning of season three, pretty much the entire season, you're playing as an unrelated guy.
Okay.
And his family just dealing with their drama. It's like fine. It's just kind of, it feels sort of like how many, like... you know, can we do a Walking Dead forever? You
yeah,
know, like, can
sure.
we do a new character
sure,
here
sure.
in, like, different situations? Felt like testing the waters. And it's pretty cool to see Clementine as like an outside character who's not like a protagonist. It's just kind of someone you run into at a certain point. But the beginning of this season, once you meet up with her, you realize that all of the different endings from the previous one have pretty much led to the same outcome.
Okay, so it didn't really matter.
It didn't really matter. People are dead one way or another, or disappeared or whatever, mm-hmm. and just not relevant anymore.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's just kind of a disappointment, and I think it didn't do well critically either. And it's just sort of like, if season two was a step down from season one, this was like even further.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You can skip it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay, you mm-hmm. know. It's meh. Guardians of the Galaxy was the next one.
I didn't play this.
Didn't play that. I did.
Well, you played all these, huh?
Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
This one is okay, but it. This is something else that former employee talked about, is that their market research told them that the allure of Guardians of the Galaxy was that it was mature and serious, which. Holy shit. Like, I'm not like the biggest fan of the movies, but I was interested in what they were going to do with it. Another kind of odd fit situation mm-hmm. where how much decision making is there really? Like, they're just kind of there to go on adventures. And
I remember reading about Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale game, obviously.
Yeah.
And what I remember reading is all of their humor and sort of smart, you know, sort of whip smart humor was like taken out after after like R&D or like testing. And they, I guess, higher
only
ups
gradually added back in when they realized no one cared.
Or I guess like higher ups wanted it completely rewritten.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of that as they went on, because these games were kind of coming out super fast. People are working mm-hmm. insanely long hours, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff was being rewritten at the last minute, which sounds like a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Considering how much effort presumably goes into
this. I was reading like at some point they were like a few days away from certification and were rewriting and re-recording lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's just not like necessarily a bad game or narrative, just kind of odd, because it's very, very tonally different from the movies and presumably the comic books too. So this is another like okay one. I already talked about Minecraft Story Mode season 2.
Yep.
The second Batman season was even better than the first one.
That wow, and people didn't really like it.
People didn't talk about either of them at all.
And it didn't make them any money.
No. And this is fascinating because it's a story that I've never seen before, and it's Bruce Wayne palling around with the villains.
Oh, wow.
And you're just kind of like hanging out with the Joker and Mr. Freeze. And the Joker isn't really fully formed yet as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about it is that you can either, like he really looks up to Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can either kind of treat him nicely, in which case he takes it way too far and becomes obsessive and tries to be a Batman himself.
Okay.
Or you can rebuff him and like treat him like shit, and then he just becomes like the Joker you know him. And it's a pretty
interesting take,
successful application of the Telltale motto of not having a right choice.
Yeah,
and that was really cool, and had a great ending, very meaningful. And it's a shame that those games didn't do better, because it was a really interesting take. And so here we are at the end of their main kind of career mm-hmm. in terms of the Walking Dead type games. And how fitting is it that it's the final season of The Walking Dead?
Sure.
And did you ever get around to playing this one?
I did play some of it. I read all the summaries and I watched the videos because I couldn't play it. Like at that point, I was very in tune with what was going on with the company.
And we should note that only two of the four episodes were done by Telltale themselves, and they had to stop like mid-production.
Yeah, and that's when they went under, right? Very suddenly.
Yes. And Robert Kirkman, the creator of Walking Dead, his company took over. And I must say they did an excellent job recreating kind of the Telltale magic there.
He actually had a really good quote too, where he said he made it a personal mission to make sure the original development team was back to do the last two episodes, because he wanted it to be as authentic in their vision as possible.
Yeah. And honestly, I for whatever, I think it was partially that, like, all the extenuating circumstances really kind of made this experience a lot more emotional for me, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't following, like, I didn't play the first season in 2011 or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of years later, but it made the ending so much, knowing that this is the end, the final season, mm-hmm. it's all come to this. And even though they are kind of retreading some of the themes of the first season,
yeah, they are.
It is, I thought it was very emotionally effective because there is no, like, happy ending.
Yeah.
It's very rough emotionally, and I was very almost choked up by the end of the story.
Kind of like the real life, you know, connections with the game and what was going on with them. And
I was so relieved that it was very small scale. Like, it wasn't like this huge overdone ending. It was a lot shorter than the other seasons. Just a great job and a very kind of bittersweet ending for the Telltale experience as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take a moment to sort of celebrate how they briefly did kind of achieve their goal of extending. You saw a lot more indie developers getting into adventure games and story-driven,
interactive storytelling, graphic adventure games.
After Walking Dead especially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pretty incredible that they were able to sort of breathe new life into it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there was even I don't want to call it a ripoff company. There was a company that essentially made the same kind of game. They did a King's Quest game, which it wasn't Telltale, but a different company copied that style.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they definitely had their influence. And I, you know, listening to you talk about those other franchises that I didn't play,
mm-hmm.
This has got to be one of the few developers that they've nailed the story and the narrative over and over and over. And I've never heard of them. Never heard of the individuals involved.
Yeah, and considering how much pressure they were under, the fact that those last couple, like, there's some not game-breaking bugs, but you'll see, like, a lot more spelling errors you know, someone will forget to talk or something. Mm-hmm. Just because that they were under such tremendous, like, you know, pressure to get these games out. Mm-hmm. It's insane how they turned out as well as they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would like to kind of go into a postmortem a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
And just kind of discuss why things went down the way they did.
Yeah, okay.
So as we mentioned before, kind of The Walking Dead being incredibly successful, they weren't really able to iterate or experiment because they had a lot of problems growing,
mm-hmm.
where they weren't really sure, you know, how to budget their employees or their time. It kind of became like you need to have these instant returns, like every quarter you need to show whatever. And they started hiring, like, the guy, John Riccitiello. I'm sure you've heard stories about this guy, the EA fella. One of their founders is actually pretty consistently blamed by employees.
What was his name?
Kevin Bruner.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty universally reviled
at the end.
Yeah, just because his decisions and the way he treated employees was pretty objectionable.
From what I interpreted, this is all hearsay. From what I've interpreted, at the start, he was kind of this visionary guy who wanted the team to make what they wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got obsessed with the success of The Walking Dead, and the team could not do anything other than make games like that.
Yeah.
And then the sort of the Telltale game engine, or the Telltale sort of template, started wearing people out. It was hard to get these games out, you know, at the episodic timeline. It's almost like their awesome original vision became incredibly hard to handle.
It's hard too when they were pretty much, for financial reasons, working with existing IPs, which mm-hmm. have their own limitations. You know, people have, even if they are allowed to tell their own story, there can only be so much they can do with the
property.
There's a brand that needs to be maintained, mm-hmm. which evidently, you know, they didn't really care too much about with Minecraft and Guardians of the Galaxy, but
sure.
Interesting. Crunch up to 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal. A lot of leadership shakeups. The guy from Zynga showed up at one point. Mm-hmm. He tried to right the ship with that Netflix deal, but unfortunately it seems like the damage was done at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't hack it. I mentioned that experience that employee had.
Sure.
She was talking about how you had like some unpaid person working into the night to prep like sort of their goodbye packages. Like nobody got severance, so I don't even know what these were.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they had like benefits for a short amount of time afterwards.
And it was very well documented how like, you know, they got no severance. Health insurance was brief after they were terminated.
Yes.
And they, I was reading a story too where they only had like, what, 30 minutes or something to leave the office with all their possessions.
Yeah, just clean out your desk and that's it.
Bizarre.
It's incredible how it was clearly, like the problem was way worse than anybody knew.
Yeah.
The fact that they had to leave like
that quickly. Like we're now. Shutting down, we're turning the lights off today.
It's insane. LCG Entertainment, by the way, is the one that bought out the remnants or whatever.
Oh, okay. They're and, doing business as Telltale. That's what we were talking about earlier.
And so I think you said The Wolf Among Us. Mm-hmm. And
it's The Wolf Among Us 2, as far as I'm aware.
Yes, and I'm not sure what else they're planning on resurrecting or if they plan to hire back any of the employees. But as far as I know, anyone who owes those people money has not made any attempt to give them any sort of recompense. And it's just insane because, I mean, it's pretty funny because we were recently called an apolitical podcast. And not to get political, but there's certain things that I like to have on mic that, you know, that we stand for because I feel like that's a good way to live. And it's like talking about, like, we had the DLC episode recently. Mm-hmm. Tried to be sort of understanding about the costs of making games and everything like that, about how there's two sides to an issue. But ultimately, nobody wants to pay more for anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, if you can just, like, get your money's worth, like, people are happy.
Yeah.
And that's just a basic kind of tenet of consumer culture. And it's like, I want to be on the record of how we stand with these employees.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
How like we feel really bad for them and how, you know, they deserve better benefits and, you know, not to be treated like that. It was a long kind of death. Like they were bleeding employees the whole time.
Yeah, and we should say that too. Like for as much on Goddamn GameCube as we make fun of stuff, we have fun with stuff, we call things bad, or I never use the word lazy. I want to make sure people know that like what I've said very frequently is games are very hard to make.
Yep.
And it takes a lot of people, a lot of money, and a lot of time. And absolutely, like with this Telltale saga, that absolutely kind of like put the spark under the discussion of game devs. Maybe they should unionize.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
For sure. Because I mean, I'm so glad, like, we talked to Mike Bithell about this a little bit.
Yeah.
Where the idea of crunch and how consumers can help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that health of developers is kind of coming to the forefront of gaming communities.
Oh, yeah.
Rather, like, when you hear stuff like, whether it's the people at Rockstar or anywhere or Blizzard or wherever, it's like, I don't understand how employees can be treated this poorly, but it still happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's not much more to say, but I would like to say if by some chance you're a former Telltale employee and you hear this podcast episode and you're not horribly insulted by it for any reason, you're more than welcome to share your story here. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Beppe, do you have any final thoughts? You think we should wrap it here? Any other final sentiments?
No, I you know, even though there's not a whole lot of gameplay beyond making the decisions and pointing and clicking, I think these games are very well done, very polished, as I mentioned. And there's a couple of kind of underrated ones in there that I hope people give a shot to. And I hope whatever happens next with that stuff, the employees are treated better.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to reiterate from what I said earlier. I do think The Walking Dead Season 1 is one of the best games I played this decade.
Mm-hmm.
I also really like The Wolf Among Us. And I do want to say, I think whatever happens with Telltale properties after this, they had a ton of industry influence forever.
Right.
Whether you call them point and clicks, interactive movie games, graphic adventure games, whatever your word for these are, Telltale really did it at the highest level.
Yeah.
And I think that's really all I have to say about it. And I think we are going to end this for now, and we will see you guys next time on Goddamn GameCube. Thank you.